Well, good morning, and a very warm welcome to everybody this morning, and I hope you're feeling blessed and encouraged and cozy. I think cozy and comfy are great verbs, and our thanks to Gordon for leading our praises, Andrew for leading our service, and to Alistair working quietly on the sound desk. Now, I just pray that the place would be immersed in love today. That seems to be the theme that's taken over. I don't think I had the word love in my notes, but I've been inspired by what I've heard, and I really feel that if we capture something of God's love, Luke, as you'll be hearing, wrote his gospel and the history of the Acts of the Apostles, or as some people prefer to call it, the Acts of the Holy Spirit, out of love. And what I want to do is to pray and then to read the passage for today and then begin to share some thoughts about it. I was actually in tears, Gordon, when you sang that song. Anne Elwin said, "Is that not one of your favorite songs about meeting Jesus in the air?" And I thought, wow, just how wonderful that would be. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And that's what we want to do throughout this series, just to see Jesus as he is, so that we can become more like him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the gathering of your people in this place. Thank you for the opportunity to praise and worship you together, to pray to you, to seek your favor, to seek your blessing, to seek your light, and to understand something of your word as you have kept it and shared it with us this morning. Help us to understand it and to really appreciate the message this morning, and to bless you for it and the way that you communicate with us through your word and by your spirit. We want to welcome your word, and we want to welcome the Holy Spirit amongst us. We're not worthy that you would come under our roof, but we thank you that you want to, that that's your desire, to form relationship with us. So help us to be open to you, and help us to feel rest and calm and peace as we listen to your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as Andrew indicated, today we're going to begin a new series. And the series is entitled The Holy Spirit in the Writings of Luke, or in the Writings of the Gospel according to Luke, and the Book of the Acts of the Apostles. And Luke gives a little introduction here in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, about who he's writing for, about what he's writing, about why he is writing. And I want to just set a kind of a context here this morning. And I also want to do that quite briefly. I've been rebuking myself for the length of time I've been preaching the last two or three times. So it's 10 to 12 now. So if I'm still speaking at 12:15, I want you to say, no more. Well, no more of you, but let's have more of Jesus. So I think we advise when we have guest speakers, if you speak for about 20 to 25 minutes. Well, I was appalled to see that my last couple of offerings, which have been recorded, lasted something like 38 to 40 minutes. So I know it felt like 58 to 68 minutes, but for me, because I like sharing this stuff, and I don't have today a PowerPoint, which just gives me some control, I love sharing and feeling free to tell you what I feel the Holy Spirit saying to me and then to the church. So let's read Luke's introduction. "Many," he says, "have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught." I just want to do so this morning by having two kind of heads, two ways of looking at it. One is by looking a little bit at the author, his passion, his enthusiasm, his character, and then a little bit about the account that he gives in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. So it's a huge survey that I'm going to try and reduce to a very brief kind of introduction. I don't know how you go about introducing people, and if I was to introduce my wife, I would say, oh, she gets so embarrassed when I talk about her. But if I were to introduce my friend Andrew, I would say, well, Andrew is a very impressive man. He comes from Tain. He's got all sorts of qualities and so on. But it's that whole thing of introducing somebody. How do you introduce somebody else? How do you indeed introduce yourself? I am. And begin to talk about what you are, maybe, you know, if you're selfie-facing and so on. Which reminds me of a story about a boy preacher. And he was preaching away and standing at the door, shaking hands with people as they left. And there's this lady, a very godly and gracious lady, who said, well, I want to thank you very much for your teaching this morning. It was a real blessing to me. And he said in this selfie-facing way, oh, it wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit. And she said, oh, it wasn't that good. And but what we're hoping is that over the next few weeks and months, as we explore the Holy Spirit in Luke's writings, it will be that good, and we'll know his love, and we'll know his presence, and we won't be intimidated in any way by discovering who the Holy Spirit is. However, just a little bit of a kind of description of the author and what his intentions are. And I'm going to make this quite simple, begin with his name, Luke. It's the same as Lucy or Lucifer, light bearer. Luke is one who brings light, and he brings light into the darkness of 400 years. I don't know if you're familiar with Malachi, but in the last verses of Malachi, God had promised that Elijah would come and bring transformation and bring change. And that's really where the Gospel of Luke begins. It begins with Elijah, or the story of John the Baptist, who Jesus referred to as Elijah. And you'll see how the Holy Spirit begins to function right from the start in the Gospel according to Luke, with stories about Zechariah and Elizabeth and the birth of John the Baptist, and then Mary and Joseph and the birth of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit's power and glory being manifested in these stories. So Luke is the light bearer, the carrier of light into the darkness, or if you prefer a different image, the shatterer of the silence. There had been no revelation for about 400 years since Malachi, no prophetic revelation or prophetic word about prophecy to do with the restoration of God's people. And so Luke brings light into the situation. And what we're seeing in Luke's gospel is the promises and the fulfillment of the promises that are yea and amen in Jesus. Now, one of the things about Luke, as well as the meaning of his name, he's what I call, or what the scriptures call, in 2 Peter 1:4, if you're looking for a reference, he's a partaker of the divine nature. Now, what does that mean, and what does it look like? Well, let me give you an example. Last week I was sitting there, and I think the chap was called Ross Maudsley, and he had a drone that he had been flying over Tilly Drone, interestingly. and it looked incredible, just the quality of the pictures. But what for me was really striking was the different appreciation you have from the air. Up there is very different to down here. And he went over Tilly Drone. Anybody here from Tilly Drone? Sorry, Cap, but he made it look lovely. And the pictures were so bright and so on. And I just began to think about how earthbound our view and our vision can be. But when we're up there, we're partaking and sharing in the divine nature. When the Holy Spirit comes to touch us and raise us up, do you know that God never puts us down? He always raises us up to be with him. And the Holy Spirit's a great raiser up. And so Luke's one who participates in the divine nature. And that's maybe a challenge for us. How do we as individuals, how do we as a congregation participate or share in the divine nature? And part of that, of course, is his gospel inspired, God breathed. And it'd be good to have a discussion about what we really mean by the inspiration and the infallibility of Scripture. But the authority with which he writes because of his knowledge of and his reception to the Holy Spirit. The third thing I want to say about Luke as the author is that he's what they used to call in Scotland a lad of many money perts. Have you heard of that phrase? He's a lad of money perts. In other words, he's got all kinds of things going for him. He's an author. He's a doctor. Did you know he was a doctor? Dr. Luke. Paul said, my friend, Dr. Luke. And he's also a historian. He's an evangelist. Most people know about Paul as an evangelist, going out with people like Barnabas and people like Silas. But very few people recognize how often it says in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, we. That means Paul and I together. And it begins about chapter 16. So he was an evangelist. He traveled around, this Gentile, this man from perhaps Greece, who was one of you know when we say in Scotland there are only two kinds of people in the world? I suppose the Irish say the same. There are Scots and all the rest of the world who wish they were Scots. And it's the same with Jewish people, you know, that the rest of us are goyim, or we're Gentiles. We're not people of purity and superiority. And so Luke was one of them. And I just love it that, you know, in the putting together of the gospel story, God chooses, he chooses somebody who was a tax collector. He chooses somebody who was a Gentile. He chooses somebody who was a friend of Jesus. And he chooses Mark, who perhaps was a cousin of Peter's, and listened to Peter's story. But we have somebody who's a Gentile, and he reaches out in a very different way to Gentiles. But he's got all these things going for us, going for him. And he has all the skills of all these professions, of all these parts of his life. He's got respect for learning. He's got an inquiring mind. He's an ability to process and to tease out information that's significant. And we see that in his writings here. And I have great confidence in this gospel. Just four little points from the text that I read. He writes it's an account. It's one of many accounts, but it's a trustworthy account. It's an account that's based on eyewitnesses, and that's a very important principle. I've seen it, I've tasted it, I've touched it, I've heard it, I know it, so my account is true. And then it's an account that's passed down from generation. It's agreed upon, and it's carefully and scientifically investigated. And so you see all that going on in this gospel. But what I want to really do is to begin to talk about five things about his writings or about his account that we'll see as we go through the gospel. And I'm going to focus on one particular aspect of it, but you'll see traces right through the Gospels and right through the book of Acts, Luke's writing. And the first is that he proclaims the kingdom of God the Father. He proclaims the kingdom of God the Father. One of the first things Jesus says is, you know, I need to be about my Father's business. And you can see in many, he's 12-year-old in the temple, and his parents have lost him. It's a quality of parenting going on, question. But, you know, they've lost him. And
He said, what are you doing here? Well, I'm about my father's business. Imagine if you're Joseph and you're having a conversation with your son. What is your father's business? So he proclaims the kingdom of the Father. And you see the fatherhood of God, the loving Father of God, right through both Luke and through Acts. And then secondly, he shares the life of God the Son from birth to ascension. You see that whole history of Jesus being shared in all sorts of different ways. And very powerful about what we are about here. I read a story which might explain, quite an interesting story, might explain what I'm trying to get here. It was a sculptor, an artist called Rodin. And you may have seen the Praying Hands. He did that. He was on a journey one day, and he saw a big cross. And he said, that's a very, very powerful thing. I think I'll purchase it, and I'll take it home. So he purchased it. He arranged for the transport to take it to his home. But when it got to his home, it was too big. He couldn't get it through the door. So he arranged for the walls to be knocked down. He arranged for the roof to be taken off, and he took the cross into his house, rebuilt the walls, and rebuilt the roof in order to have the cross in his home. Now, isn't there something, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He ministers Jesus, and he kind of knocks down our walls and brings in the message of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the glory and the love of Jesus into our lives. And then he kind of rebuilds us. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. When he, the Spirit of truth, will come, he will convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And he brings that conviction. So you see all of these things. Now, the point I want to get to, the third point, though, is that he honors God, the Holy Spirit. Luke wrote about a quarter of the New Testament. In the book of Luke and in the book of Acts, so you combine together, that's a quarter. In fact, more from Luke than any other author in the New Testament. And that's a very important thing. God has obviously got to say something to us through Luke. And Luke is one who, and that's what we'll be focusing on, not so much the Father, not so much Jesus the Son, but Jesus the Holy Spirit. And what does Jesus, what does the Holy Spirit do? Well, he honors the Father and he honors Jesus. And when we begin to look at Luke, we can see something like 14 references to the work of the Holy Spirit in the Gospel, another 42 in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. So he's the one who has a particular focus on the Holy Spirit and just getting to know the Holy Spirit, welcoming the Holy Spirit into our lives. Those of you who saw the Missions Facebook page this week would see that I referred to a song by Jesus Culture called Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome in This Place. Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome in My Life. And a very, very powerful song. In fact, it'll be almost like an anthem for the series that we're going to do. Does anybody know this song? Did anybody listen to it? Did I see a nod? One or two people. And a very, very powerful thing. Worth playing at the end of the service, actually, if we can manage to do that. It's on YouTube, and it's worth a listen to. But the whole thing about the Holy Spirit, we'll be looking at his person, his personality, his power, his presence, the glory of the Holy Spirit. You know, we sometimes don't really honor the Holy Spirit in the way Luke does as much as we should. The Holy Spirit's there from the beginning of Genesis, Genesis 1, verse 2, to Revelation 22, verse 17, where the Spirit and the bride say, come. And the Spirit and that, the bride being the church. And we want to just see what Luke has got to say about the Holy Spirit, his person. It was a real surprise to me one day. I went to hear Jim Packer, Professor Packer, down in the Divinity Faculty. And he was talking about the Holy Spirit. And he said, the first thing I want to say is that the Holy Spirit is a person. Like the Father, like the Son, he has got person qualities, person characteristics. And I remember I repented on the spot, because for me the Holy Spirit was a kind of distant figure, ghostly figure, a bit spooky, who haunted the heavens in a nighty kind of thing. And I didn't really appreciate the person of the Holy Spirit. So we're looking at many aspects of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit as a person. You know, very interesting in that Genesis 2 reference where the Holy Spirit... Don't tell me it's coming up to 10 past already. Where the Holy Spirit is, you know, it says, and the Spirit of God was hovering. There was darkness over the earth. And the Holy Spirit, he was hovering right at the beginning of creation. I think that's a wonderful verb, to hover. And sometimes it says, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. If I tell you the Hebrew root of this, it's really interesting. Darkness over, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Holy Spirit's there. In the Hebrew description of the darkness that was covering is tohu abohu. I think it's a wonderful phrase, just to transliterate it into English. Darkness and emptiness, formless. Often my life seems to be a bit tohu abohu. You know, just I wish there was clarity and purpose and certainty around it. And if you're feeling that today, a bit tohu abohu, a bit lost and dark and confused, then the Holy Spirit is hovering. And what does he hover to do? He hovers to bring light. God says, let there be light, and there was light. And that was the first day. The very first thing that God did was to bring light into the darkness. And I think, you know, just what I'm saying, you don't have to necessarily agree with me or not, but I think that what God was saying is, let there be light, was, let there be light. And what did Jesus say? I am the light of the world. So the very first prayer, the very first desire of God was to bring the light of the world into the tohu abohu of the darkness and confusion. And nothing has changed. God only had one plan, and that was to honor and to bring Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is there at every point. He's even the one who overshadows the womb of the Virgin Mary and brings into being the Son of God in the womb of the Virgin Mary. So I hope you're excited about the Holy Spirit and his life and his energy and his power in the gospel according to Luke. Two other points about the gospels that we'll see as we face them. One is that Luke is the champion of the outsider, those who are on the margins, those who are Gentiles, those who are, you know, from outside the family of Israel. He really champions the outsider, or the misfit, the people that don't have, that don't really have a place in the community. And I think that's a wonderful thing that you'll see again and again. Indeed, he says of a centurion who's responsible for 100 soldiers, he says of him, Jesus says of him, that he'd never found such great faith in all of Israel. And so he champions the folks who are marginalized, the folks who are on the fringes. And I hope that we as a church led by the Holy Spirit can do that as well. Really, the folks that are difficult to love. I said a few weeks ago that the people who are most difficult to love are the people who need loving most. And as we've been, you know, talking about love today. And then the fifth thing that Luke does is he spreads the flame. He died in Greece at the age of 84. And he was Greek himself. But what I mean by he spreads the flame, this is not an original thought. F.F. Bruce wrote a book beginning with what I call Acts chapter 29. If you look it up in your Bibles, you'll find it's not there. It stops at Acts chapter 28. But we want to be people who write Acts chapter 29 by spreading the flame of the gospel and the fire of the gospel. And Luke does that. He spreads it. He knows about it. He's excited about it. And these five areas are areas that we'll probably touch on as we look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because without him, we have no power. We have no authority. So what does that mean for us? Well, one of the things it means for us is that we're encouraged to let our light shine. And if you have the light, that's what Jesus said about us, you are the light of the world, you are the salt of the earth. So if you have that light, the light of the gospel in you, then fan it into flames. Secondly, I think it becomes us to sow to the Spirit. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but in Galatians 6 verse 8, the writer to the Galatians said, sow to the Spirit. We're quite good at sowing to the flesh, but he who sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So we sow to the Spirit, because that's what Paul says we should be doing. And that's what this series, I hope, will be all about, us as a congregation sowing to the Spirit. And the third thing that we want to do as well is look at how Luke honours the Holy Spirit, but welcome the Holy Spirit ourselves. You are welcome here, Holy Spirit. You are welcome here. And how do we make the Holy Spirit welcome? Well, we make him welcome by loving the things he loves, by loving the things that he wants to do. And what does he want to do? Well, he wants to lift up Jesus. When he, the Spirit, comes, Jesus said he will testify about me. He'll not take the glory to himself, but he'll glorify Jesus. He'll honor Jesus. And if you haven't met the Holy Spirit yet, you maybe a kind of vague notion to you, say, well, welcome. You know, sometimes when we see people or meet them, say, kind of, I'd sort of like to get to know you a little bit. I'd like to know, you know, what makes you tick. And it's the same with the person of the Holy Spirit. How can I get to know him? And what happens when I do know him? Well, what happens is there's life, there's love, there's energy, there's power, there's glory. Jesus is lifted up, and that's what we want to do. So I hope these few thoughts, just bang on time today, I hope these few thoughts will help us to just begin to see how the Holy Spirit begins to influence Luke's writings. And as you go through with us, go through the gospel, it's a great idea to come prepared. You know, read the passage for next week, which is about Zechariah. It's not next week, in 2 weeks' time. Next week we're going to do this just experiment about cafe-style church in a laid-back and an informal way. But, you know, we want the Holy Spirit to come and empower that, you know, so see his empowering, his equipping for that. We want the Holy Spirit to be doing everything, to be leading us and to be guiding us. But the main thing is to seek his presence, just his presence. It's such a safe and secure and loving place, bringing what the writer there called in his introduction, certainty. And that's a wonderful thing. In our insecure world and all the uncertainties of the weather and politics and so on, I know whom I believe. I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. So let's pray, and then Gordon, which one are you going to sing? Well, I asked Gordon to sing two songs about the Holy Spirit. Let your living water flow over my soul, or Spirit of the Living God. What was it? The Sky Boat Song one. Well, we'll do them both, eh? Right. Father God, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for Luke. Thank you for his writing. Thank you for all that we're going to discover over the next few weeks. So we look to you, and we ask that you would bless us. Help us to fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and to sing your praises as we bring the service to a conclusion. In Jesus' name, amen.